You're listening to a message delivered at the Fountains, a United Methodist Church in Fountain Hills, Arizona.
The book or books called Chronicles is an overview of Jewish history from Adam to the reigns of Saul and David and Solomon, on to the destruction of the temple, and all the way to the release of the captives from Babylon by Cyrus the Great. In the Jewish tradition, Chronicles is just one big book or one big scroll. But in Christian Bibles, it's divided into 1st and 2nd Chronicles because that's the way the translators of one version, the Septuagint, decided to do it. In our passage today, King David is making an appeal for donations towards the construction of the temple. And his pitch is basically, look, all that you have is from God anyway. So why not give a little bit back to help recognize the one who is the source of all you have and all you are in the first place?
Our words of wisdom are from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 14 and 15. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to make this free will offering? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Every day, Mullah Nasruddin went to the market to beg for alms. One day, a passerby held up two coins, one worth 10 times more than the other, and Nasruddin chose the smaller coin. The passerby thought to himself, "What a moron!" and told his story to his friends. The story went all around the province. Soon, day after day, groups of men and women would find Nasruddin in the market, show him the two coins, and Nasruddin would always choose the smaller one. One day, a generous man, tired of seeing Nasruddin ridiculed, beckoned him over to a corner of the square and said, "You know, when they offer you two coins, you should choose the larger one. That way you'd earn more money and people wouldn't consider you an idiot." "That sounds like good advice," replied Nasruddin, "but if I chose the larger coin, people would stop offering me money at all because they like to believe that I'm even more stupid than they are. You've no idea how much money I've earned using this trick." Do you ever feel conflicted passing someone who's asking for money? You want to be generous, but you find yourself looking for excuses to justify not giving anything to them. Do you pat yourself on the back for the wisdom of your choice to not squander cash that might support someone's bad life decisions? Me too. So, today's spiritual discipline is for all of us. In Hebrew, today's practice is called tzedakah. You and I know it in English as generosity. It's often wrongly translated as charity, and that's not what we're talking about. Charity comes from the Latin word caritas, meaning from the heart, and it's a whole different deal. Charity is voluntary. It's a voluntary act motivated by the feeling of another's pain and impulsively wanting to help. Tzedakah, on the other hand, is from the Hebrew root word tzedek, which means justice. It has nothing to do with feelings. It's a matter of doing justice. And as far as Jewish tradition is concerned, it's an obligation. You are obligated to be generous, whether or not you feel like it. In fact, according to the Babylonian Talmud, tzedakah is the most important commandment to which Jews are obligated. It says, tzedakah, generosity, is equal to all the other commandments combined. In the Torah, this call for justice is emphasized everywhere. justice, justice you shall pursue, and let justice well up as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream, says Amos. Now, this sounds like a pretty tall order, but it doesn't have to be intimidating. This ancient concern for justice can be expressed by you and me in our daily lives through the practice of tzedakah, or generosity. This isn't about impulse giving or giving out of guilt. Many of us are manipulated to be spontaneously generous when the vacant stares of hopeless children or pets are flashed up on our TV screens. The sight tugs at our conscience, and so we give. But the need is so great, we could give every penny we have and not put a dent in the problem, mainly because the system is slanted to give the advantage to the already comfortable. Poverty is essentially built into the system, and it's virtually impossible to change. So we risk become jaded, cold, and unfeeling. When we pass those in need, we wear a mask of disinterest, or we reassure ourselves that the poor have done this to themselves. Sorry, man, you obviously have made some really bad life choices and don't deserve my help. Now, if you do think something like that, you're succumbing to my favorite form of ancient biblical claptrap, the Deuteronomistic code, which is you get what you deserve and you deserve what you get. You might remember that, in my opinion, Jesus spent his whole ministry trying to undo this obvious untruth. That's why he healed people that he shouldn't have and spent time with people that he shouldn't have given the time of day. His critics were mad because Jesus was interfering with the punishment that they obviously deserved, be it leprosy or poverty or, I don't know, being a woman. There are plenty of people who are poor or sick who did nothing to deserve it, and plenty of people who are rich and comfortable who don't deserve that either. You get what you deserve, and you deserve what you get is not reality, no matter what you've been raised to believe. So check that thought at the door. Tzedakah is not about power or poverty. It's not about what someone deserves or doesn't deserve. It's about recognizing the interdependence of all of creation and our obligation to each other to create the most just world we can. Remember, tzedakah is about doing justice in our communities, and nobody gets a pass. Years ago, Rabbi Rami was living in Jerusalem, and one afternoon, he sat with a group of beggars on a street corner. Over the course of the conversation, one of the beggars got up to leave, and as he did so, he took from his own cup and gave something to each of the other beggars. When Rabbi Rami asked the remaining beggars about this, they reminded him that tzedakah, generosity, was everyone's obligation, even a beggar's. Practicing tzedakah is a gesture towards recognizing that we are interdependent with all beings. Instead of impoverishing yourself by giving everything you have or becoming cold and unfeeling, you can practice tzedakah. It's the middle path between apathy and self-impoverishment. Remember, the larger goal of tzedakah is political. It's about community. It's about the creation of an economically just and compassionate society where everyone has an opportunity to sustain him or herself and where help is available for those who can't do for themselves. The great Jewish teacher Maimonides contemplated multiple facets of tzedakah. And one of the things he kept coming back to is that when it comes to the spiritual benefit of generosity, the amount given doesn't matter. The attitude of the giver is what matters. You might remember Paul's bumper sticker from 2 Corinthians, God loves a cheerful giver. What you might not remember is that the word we translate as cheerful is hilarion in Greek. That's where we get our English word hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. We give not out of pity, but out of moral obligation, out of a sense of justice. And if we really do it right, we give with joy because God loves a hilarious giver. Okay, so how do we fulfill this moral obligation to be generous? Let me share with you a simple way to make tzedakah a habit. First thing you have to do is settle on an amount that you can afford to set aside. Separate it from your regular operating budget. Maybe even open a separate account into which you put a set amount every month. Then keep a pushka or tzedakah box somewhere in your house. The simplest strategy is to drop your change into it, and when it's full, you add the total to your tzedakah account, which already has money in it that you're putting in regularly. The rabbis have encouraged people to increase the amount of money in their tzedakah budget by putting money in their pushka or adding to their tzedakah wallet after daily activities for which you're grateful. For instance, before you eat a meal, before going food shopping, before you go clothes shopping, before making love, or maybe after making love, before going on a journey, or before a friend goes on a trip for her to donate during her journey. In fact, check this out. I follow an Orthodox rabbi on TikTok named Avraham Rappaport. He goes by Rabbi Raps and offers little snippets of Jewish culture and tradition in his TikToks. In this particular TikTok, he calls what's going on charity, but I think Rabbi Rami would say that what he's really talking about is tzedakah. It won't be the first time that two rabbis have disagreed.
What's this?
This is Shaliach Mitzvah. It's $2. You go to Israel.
My friend Alex just gave me $2. Let me tell you about a beautiful tradition. When someone travels, like overseas, we want them to arrive at their destination safely. So you give some money, maybe $1 to the person, and you say, give this to charity at your destination. So no longer am I just traveling, but I'm on the mission to them to do a mitzvah. So because of that, I feel extra protection, and I thank you for that. You give me, why $2?
$1 is when you come back, you give a charity here in the place where you live.
I like to fold it into a triangle. There's no spiritual reason for this. It's just simply, I don't want to take this money and like spend it on something. I want to remember that this is for the mitzvah. But if you want significance, you have a triangle, maybe it's a Star of David.
So, totally symbolic, right? But these kinds of little gestures remind a person of their obligation to be generous. However you collect it, or however you set it aside, determine how much of your tzedakah money you will carry with you each day, and put it in a separate wallet or purse. When someone asks for money, take it from that purse. You've already prepared to give this money away, so you can give with pleasure. You can give with genuine grace. When your tzedakah wallet is empty, you've met your obligation. You can always give more, but you don't have to feel guilty if you don't. You've prepared to make generosity a part of your day. Now, if you're leery of giving money to poor people, they'll just use it to buy alcohol or drugs. Well, then carry gift certificates for a local fast food restaurant, or put together a blessing bag full of travel-sized personal care items and non-perishable snacks. Jesus said, "The poor you'll always have with you." So whatever we do, our humble efforts aren't going to solve all the world's problems. But as the Mishnah reminds us, the task is great. You cannot be expected to finish it, but neither are you free to ignore it. The spiritual challenge of tzedakah today is to move beyond the sense of separation that we have with people and to not be afraid to recognize that homeless person as a neighbor without judgment. Make eye contact. Look past their attire and remind yourself that they too are manifestations of the divine. Smile. Say something pleasant. Treat them with respect. And remember, you are giving money out of your tzedakah budget, so you can focus on the individual and not fret about the amount or what they might do with it or anything else. Your spiritual discipline is to give without having to think about, do I have enough? One author echoes the sentiment of our Chronicles passage today and suggests that we remember that it's not really me who is giving, but God. I'm simply the vehicle of transfer. So, here's to you getting to the end of your day and not having given away all your tzedakah money. Then you have to go out looking for someone. And when you find them, remember that they're doing you a favor by giving you the opportunity to practice generosity and practice it with wild abandon. So be generous and be well.
Thanks for listening to this week's Applying It to Life from the Fountains. For more information or to support this outreach with a donation, visit www.weputlovefirst.org.